Welcome to The Grow Show. Grow yourself, grow your business, grow your community. Here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey folks, and how are you doing today? Now, welcome to this episode of The Grow Show, where we're going to be talking to the fantastic Mark Norfall about his business journey and his relationship with networking. We're going to be talking about the groups that he's been to, what he's learned along the way, and also what it's like actually now running his own network. We're going to share loads of top tips about networking, and we're probably going to answer the main question: what is networking and how can you use it effectively for your business? So I'm going to bring Mark into the stream now. How are you doing, Mark? How are you getting on?
All good, Gary. Thanks. Good. Long time no see. Good to catch up again.
It is. And we'll probably touch on that, but with social media, it feels like, you know, it was only 5 minutes ago since we saw each other, but it has probably been around 3 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, sure. I was a bit in the little preamble we did before the show. You were talking about the last time, and I've tried to envision the last time we actually met in person. It has been such a long time, but with social media, you don't notice that thing.
No, it must have been a forerun in Study Hall or Birmingham at some point in time. But when it was, I have no idea. But for the people who don't know you, buddy, before we get into the kind of crux of the episode, tell us a little bit about you and how you help people on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, day-to-day stuff is social media management, strategy and coaching. Help people together with my wife and one of my daughters as marknorfall.com, Dalben Group. We manage people's accounts. We look after their training needs. We do online training, face-to-face training, as well as working with companies on strategy, potentially those companies who may have a sales team but want to work with someone who is a little bit more knowledgeable in the social media field. It's just something I really enjoy doing. But as again in the preamble, when we were talking about this, social media at its best should really be an extension of what you do in person, I feel, as a network. And sure, there's loads of people. Again, I was talking to someone only yesterday. It suddenly occurred to me, I'd never met them in the flesh. And it was all done online. But I do believe that one of the biggest casualties we've had over recent years and things that have gone on is the face-to-face, press in the flesh, people that you have lost contact with.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was at an awards ceremony probably about a month or so ago. Actually, two, kind of pretty much in a couple of weeks. And there's people there was people there that I've spoken to online for probably two or three times a week, and probably more in some cases, during lockdown and before. And then at this also, it was the first time I got to see them. It was really, really weird, really strange, but in such a nice, comforting way. It wasn't it wasn't awkward at all. It was literally like meeting an old friend. And yeah, it was so nice. It was really nice. So I agree with that. We have lost that kind of little bit. Can you see that coming back? Just get straight into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think face-to-face networking has to come back. My partner at Bab, we'll be talking about Bab probably been a little bit further on in the show, but my partner at Bab says she calls it the Muppet Show, because basically what you've seen with all these people around. And I think it's almost unnatural. It's unnatural a little bit to have everything totally online. And I think people, we are sentient beings. We are people that like to mingle to a degree. The herd mentality still rules. And I think that it will have to come back. And indeed, it is coming back. And I think that's the nice thing about it, in the fact that you're there. I think what it has given us is a lot more respect for people. I think it's given us a lot more respect for their, if you like, their space. So you don't necessarily crowd people as much as you did. And I think we're back to the hugging and shaking of hands again. That's fine. But I still think people think more about, well, maybe this person's not ready to hug yet. Maybe this person's not ready to shake hands yet. We did a bit of elbow pumping, as you did, and bumping and fist bumping. But I think we come to a point where we will get back to where we were before.
Love it. And when you say kind of, how did you all get into networking? How long has it been since you started networking? And can you remember your first networking event?
I can. I remember it like it was yesterday. I've told this tale so many times in other networking meetings when we've been, but I was actually working for an accountant, which was my role before I set up my own business. And there was myself and a senior person within the company who actually were going to a networking event. It was at a golf club. It was a regular networking event that people went. It was quite a, what can I say? It was a little bit, you know, old boys type network that I went to. And we'd been talking about what we were going to talk about during the day. I'd never been to a networking event before. And just an hour before we were due to go to the network, it was an evening meeting. The chap who was going with me, the senior person from the company, had a family emergency. He said, you don't mind going on your own, do you, tonight? And I thought, well, I can do that. I'm a big boy now. Not a problem. He says, oh, and by the way, we're doing the 20-minute talk. I'd had no prep at all for it. I went into the room. It was a little bit like an old boys network. It was very clicky, a bit like an old boys network. I went in and I was the guy that was up against the wall of not talking to anybody. And when it came to the 20 minutes, I dried up after 10, and that was that. So it wasn't a great experience to start with my networking journey, if you like. But it's always a tale that I tell, because if people do feel that way, then they can make the most of it. And here I am sort of 2,500 networking meetings later, you know, extolling the virtues of networking. It is I built my business on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It put me off networking for a while, but then I realized that not all networks were the same. There were certain ones that I went to, and again, I'm not going to name names at this point, but ones that I went to, and I was made to feel like I was intruding almost. But I did discover Four Networking, and Four Networking changed my whole life when it comes to networking. This is when I started my own business. I knew that I needed to network. I was a couple of months in. Well, no, I wasn't even a couple of months in. It was in January 2011. I actually looked. I did just a straight Google search, and it was networking Sutton Coalfield, because that's where I was at the time, and did some great work by the people at Four Networking. It was the first thing that came up. And I remember now walking into the venue there. I still remember the first two people that met me at that event. The one I still see because he lives locally to me. So that's all those years ago. It's 11 years ago, and I remember those people. And that was because they had a great first impression on me. You know, and there are people now, they're still big. Chris Williams, Utility Warehouse, was one of the people. He's still massive in Utility Warehouse. He was the person who signed me up for Utility Warehouse initially. but he was the first person that I had a one-to-one with. And I remember that like it was yesterday. And I was on a team, because I am a bit of a team player. I was on a team within probably 3 months of being a member of Four Networking, and before the year was out, I was an area leader. So
what made Four N different to the other networks, as well as their fantastic Google ranking? Because I found Four Networking exactly the same. I googled networking in Leamington Spa, they came up, you know, and I went to a meeting. So my route to it was exactly the same as yours, but what made it different compared to the other networks at the time?
I think it was the welcoming nature of it all. I think they reflect the owner of the business. You know, it's something that I've always respected about Brad Burton, is the fact that he knows how to network properly, and he learned from mistakes that other people have made. And that, I think, reflects in the way that you get treated. You've always got a welcoming smile. You've always got someone who's prepared to meet you on the car park. I mean, a renowned networker, Stefan Thomas, there's a name drop, who actually I count amongst my friends now, said about the first time he ever went networking. And I think we learn from our mistakes, and certainly on the management side of Four Networking, when I was involved in the Midlands, I tried to make sure that I never had the same experience as that golf club. I was always meeting people on car parks, didn't wait for them to come into the meeting sometimes. And even if I did, I made sure there was somebody there to welcome them and then take them over and introduce them to people within the group. It was always more welcoming and a little less rigid, I think, than some of the networks, maybe the Chambers and at the time BNI, because I think that as they have learnt almost to plagiarize, if you like. That's a strong word. Some of the stuff that Four Networking did in back in the day, and they've actually changed and they've softened their attitude. I think that has definitely helped when it's come to attracting people who might be of a nervous nature.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I can remember the first, I went to 3 networking meetings in the same week. And so they all kind of in my mind now mushed together. But one was a Four Networking event, which I got greeted by Clem McTernan, who I talk to still to this day. And, you know, same with, you know, Stephen Thomas, you know, welcome me and all that kind of stuff. And Steph, I know he's been on this show a couple of times. He's such a good lad. I've got a lot of time for him. I deviate, but that was Four Networking. I also went to another network. It was a Business Day for Breakfast network, which was a Bob Club one years ago. I don't know if they're still going actually, but went to one of those. And I also went to an open networking meeting, which was literally a 2-hour free event where we just all met. And out of all of them, the Four Networking I felt most comfortable at, because they did welcome me, they did have the processes. And hell, I wasn't a natural networker to start off with. You know, I was working at a storage firm at the time. Looking back on it, I wasn't very passionate about it, which it probably came across a little bit, which probably didn't really set it up. But I loved talking to people and I loved meeting new people. So for me, networking was all about expanding the network, meeting new people and seeing where I could give value. 4N had that same ethos. I loved that kind of way that they did that. This other networking was just open networking. There was no welcome. I was stuck in the corner. I knew one person there, so I stuck to them like a glue because that was the only person I knew out there. It was a completely different circumstances, same venue as the 4N meeting. This is a crazy thing, same venue, but it's a completely different feel to it. And it, as I wasn't part of the clique, I wasn't part of the group, it felt so awkward. Now I'm so glad that I went to the 4N meeting before then, because I experienced something different. But if that was my first experience of networking, it could have been completely different, my journey completely different.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that first experience is vitally important to people, because you don't get that opportunity to make that first impression. That needs to be right. It needs to be it's vital, basically. That first impression when people come in, because if you give them a good impression, they will always want to come back. If you give them a really poor experience, and they're not going to come back to you. And I think that was actually, we built our whole network. I mean, you mentioned Claire McTernan there. I was fortunate that when I was actually made regional leader for networking, Claire McTernan was one of my area leaders, and Claire is a fantastic business leader. And I was so fortunate to have her as part of that. But I was lucky because I had probably 5 or 6 area leaders that allowed me to push out the 4N message. I mean, at our height, we had 26 groups within the Midlands region, which ran twice monthly across, you know, anywhere from Shrewsbury across to your neck of the woods down in sort of Leamington Spa, Kenilworth, Stratford, and around there, and up as far north as Stafford, and down as far south as Worcester. So we got a massive area to cover. But you knew that what you were going to get with a Four Networking meeting was a solid meeting, that everybody knew their place. And it was literally a copy that if you, no matter whether you went to a meeting in Stafford or in Worcester or in Kenilworth or in Shrewsbury, you would get the same experience from people.
Yeah, completely agree. And you mentioned talking about teams earlier, and you obviously alluded to it just then. Most kind of networks have got teams that you can join. And, you know, do you want to just kind of talk about the importance of joining the team? Because you were part of a team, as you said, for years, and you went to regional leader, which is pretty much the highest you can go on that level, bar directors, wasn't it? If I stand,
yeah.
Please correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
But tell us about the, you know, kind of the importance of being on the team for you and what you got out of it.
Yeah, I think I started off as an operation, what I used to call an operations assistant. That was checking people in. if I'm absolutely honest with you, I didn't enjoy doing that. It was something that, you know, just making sure that you got people booked in, you got the meal sorted out, et cetera, through the meeting. But the one thing mm-hmm. it did give you was you had a list of the people that were coming to the meeting. Other people that were coming in, new people, they didn't know who was coming, but you knew the day before. So if you were clever, because the one thing about the 4N structure was the 3 one-to-ones you could book within the meeting. If I wanted to say, if I knew that you were coming to a meeting at Leamington Spa, and I was the ops assistant, and I wanted to talk to you about storage, let's say, going back to a previous life. Mm-hmm. I knew that you were coming in there to that, so I could have one of my cards ready with a one-to-one. And as soon as you came through the door, bang, you was in. So that was what I saw as the big advantage with being there. And I had the same advantage when I was an area leader too, because then I could look at sort of all my groups. I had 4 groups maybe as an area leader. It went as high as 7, but that's just another story. But basically, you'd be able to see who was coming to the meetings. So you'd have that advantage. But not just that. You'd be the first person that a lot of people would see. So yes. And having that first impression, you were the person, and you thought, this is an interesting person we've got here. I think I'll have a one-to-one. Or I'll make sure that they have the right experience by meeting the right people for one-to-ones. Because I think, you know, we've all been stuck, without sort of wishing to cast aspersions on people, with having to be stuck with the person that you don't want to be with on a one-to-one. Somebody who has come maybe reluctantly by their employer and they don't really want to be there, so they're not coming over in that way. I think if you're stuck with those, then you almost had the carte blanche to avoid that type of person. But you also had a responsibility to make sure that person came out of themselves by having the right one-to-one with someone who may have a synergy with what they do. So although the responsibility was there. And the other thing was, you know, you've alluded to it, the fact that you had it gave you the persona out there, if you like. People came along and people knew 4 Networking, people knew Mark Northall, people knew Claire McTernan, people within 4 Networking. And they knew that if they went to a meeting, they could have they could get a one-to-one with you because you were on the team. They could see you. You were visible. You were on everything that was online. So being on a team was key to me sort of growing on there. To do it for so long, I think I was an area leader for 12 months, which went a little bit mad. I think we had some meetings. We had 60-odd people there, which was probably too big for a 4N meeting. The launch we had for Coventry Lunch, I think it was the biggest one we ever had. And I think we had 72 people at that one. And that was, you can imagine trying to get 40 seconds out of 72 people. Well, the mathematics didn't work anyway. No. So we had all that problem. We had the pressure of having Brad Burton in the house as well, which didn't really make things any easier for us. But going back, there were golden days. And the golden days that I've taken forward now in sort of moving forward with what we're doing. It was a pity that we all had to go online when we did. I still remember like yesterday sitting at Birmingham Breakfast, which was the time when we found out that COVID was about to hit and that we were going to have to suspend everything. And I sat there with the people around that table and we almost wept. It was almost that point that we come to the point where we knew that networking was going to have to take a back seat, and took a back seat for a couple of years, although we were quick to switch online. And early adopters with online networking, I think it worked for them. But I think people did get tired of it.
I agree. One thing I loved about the online networking was that I was able to expand my network, not geographically. Expand my network geographically, which was fantastic. So instead of going to local meetings, I was talking to people in Scotland, up in Shropshire, down in Kent, you know, Somerset, loads of different people who I wouldn't normally talk to. So that was the benefit of me going online, was that kind of increasing my reach in terms of talking to people. But it did mean that when I started to network locally again afterwards, it was quite strange because there was the old faces which I knew before, but there's so many people who have launched businesses over the last couple of years. There's so many people who haven't been to networking, didn't do networking before COVID, but has started now. And it's almost like there's two different camps when you go into a networking event now or an event now, the old faces and the people who have just started. And that's quite a strange mix. It's an exciting mix because you're getting to talk to loads of new different people, but it is very much a Yeah, it is very much a strange kind of circumstances we're in. And I suppose that takes us up to BAB and about your network that you founded with Sue Roberts. So let's talk about BAB a little bit and where the idea first of all came from and what is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd been talking about doing something of our own for a while, Sue and myself. After 4M was rumoured to be coming back, but we didn't have the structure of that happening. So we basically sort of reached out to people, and there was enough support for people in our network to, yes, we want to come and we want to sit around a table again and break bread together. And we started off doing one monthly meeting, which was at a venue that we knew near Nuneaton in Bulkington, which basically is a little village near Nuneaton, and a great venue that we knew from our four networking days. And we went in there and we had about 22 at the first meeting, which was good. We're now maintaining that sort of level between 15 and 20 coming to meetings. And we went fortnightly with that meeting. And then we launched something a little bit different, which was a brunch. A brunch where we went from 10 to 12. And that has been incredibly popular with people who have school runs, things like that. And that's at a different venue, one we hadn't used before. One in Atherston called the Red Lion. So we now run that monthly and we run the other one fortnightly. So we don't clash. We have these probably four weekly within the brunch scenario. And we're looking to launch another one in September. We've got people that are coming to us and saying, yeah, we'd love to come to your meetings, but they're a little bit too far from where we are. So by popular demand, and it genuinely is by popular demand, I think we will be round about the Solihull, Birmingham sort of area, probably not Birmingham Central because of what's actually happened, ironically, with the congestion charge there and people sort of going in there and sort of not wanting to pay that. So we'll probably end up on the outskirts of Birmingham. But it is something that we'd like to grow. There's no membership. We decided this, although probably the smart way would have been to charge the membership and then sort of got people involved. We found people have stayed loyal just by paying a pay-as-you-go fee, and that's what we've done. We've not laid out a lot of money on doing it. We've invested a lot of time in doing it, but I think it's something that is working. We're having regulars, we're having people doing business. I mean, the last meeting we had someone, you know, passing thousands of pounds worth of business, and that was from little acorns basically, and that was fantastic for us to see. And it's lovely when people come back, and some of the testimonials we've got on Google, on our website, on social media out there, you'll see that people are enjoying the situation. We've taken the best of some of the networks that I do attend now. I'm still a BNI member, have been for 3 years. 4N obviously has a big impact on it. Some of the stuff that I was taught by Brad Burton, you can see. You would if you went to a BAB meeting, you would see the influence that 4Networking has had on the meetings. And you know what? I'm not the only one doing this, by the way. I'm aware of other people who have gone on from 4Networking to do their own independent networking groups. And there's one, there's a thriving one in Bristol. There are one. Some of the names down there are just synonymous with 4Networking. And I'll never decry 4Networking. I hear Brad's voice a lot when some of the things are going wrong in meetings, and I'm going, no, don't do it that way, don't do it that way. And it has been a huge influence. 9 years as regional leader at 4Networking, I was always going to take some of the stuff that I'd learned there and put it onto BAB too. So we've taken the best of networks that we've been to. I'm still a member of independent networks, because the one thing about network is networkers network. So you're going out, you're at other networking events. That's where you're going to find people who might want to come to your networking event. And, you know, everyone's welcome. There's no one seat policy. And I think that was the one thing that 4Networking was always proud about, that it was never just a one seat policy. I've met people who do what I do, and it's enabled us to pitch for bigger pieces of work than it would have done had I just been a single seat network.
Nice. And it's your experiences during your networking journey, it's all going to culminate into what you're doing now, because You're right. Networkers network. And that is such a key kind of phrase. And I know when I already had a network, Leamington Hour network, before I started 4N. It was only a couple of months in. We only had one meeting before I joined 4N. But I can remember even at that stage thinking, do you know what? If, you know, this meeting I'm going to, 4N meeting, the processes behind it is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And you're bound to kind of leak different stuff into it because it gets into you. I was part of a team for 4N for 6 years. You know, I was the meeter and greeter because I loved it. I was the first person people saw when they came to the meeting. You know, for me, you couldn't really kind of get much better than that until you're the person leading a meeting. Then they get to see all the way through the meeting, or that you're the person talking at a 20-minute slot, which we haven't even touched upon, but there's so many depths and that kind of stuff, which you can kind of talk about. You spoke about one earlier, but there's so many different roles you can play. It all becomes you. So naturally, you're going to take the best bits of each of them and go from there. Now, if I was going to a BAB meeting, what kind of format would it be? Is it, you say it's a two-hour meeting? The budget is from 12 till 2, 10 till 12. But what happens in that 2 hours?
Yeah, the breakfasts are 8 till 10. The brunch is 10 till 12. It's the same structure for both. It'll be an open networking session to start with. Then we'll have an education slot, which I think is something that was never in a 4M meeting, but I've taken, if you like, from a BNI meeting. We'll have 10 minutes of networking education to a degree, telling people about networking and how they can get the most from it. And it could even be about social networking. It's something to actually help them with their networking journey, which I found maybe something that we should have done a little bit more of at 4Networking, if I'm honest. So that's been brought in. It's not as strict as a BNI networking slot, which is just education slot, which is just 3 minutes. It's a 10-minute, this is how you can help your networking journey. So that's good. Then we'll go into all the time that's going on. People have got the food and whatever. Then we'll do a 60-second pitch where we go around the table and people can just tell people what they're doing. Be as salesy as you like. And then we'll go to we'll have a break and we'll set up some one-to-one meetings where people can exchange cards to sort out their networking meetings, which will take place between the last half an hour of a meeting, whether that's 9:30 till 10 or 11:30 till 12, where people can actually have those 10-minute meetings where they will see whether there's a synergy between them or not. And it saves you spending an hour at their office and really finding out that both of you don't really want to work with one another, but you're too polite to say. But in between that, from 9 till 5 past 9 till about 25 past 9, we'll have a 20-minute spotlight spot where you can actually sell from your business, which is where, again, it differs from a 4Networking meeting. You can tell people what your business does, how people can buy from you, help people to buy from you, because I think sometimes having that helping people to buy attitude rather than trying to sell at them is the best way to go with that. And we aim to be finished. And again, finding this, going back to the Brad Burton sort of banging the drum, we aim to be finished on time because people have got days to get on with. They'll have after 10 o'clock meetings on their breakfast. They'll have afternoon meetings or maybe, you know, childcare issues in the afternoon. We finish by 12 or we finish by 10. So having those, it is 2 hours, but it is just 2 hours too.
Brilliant. And it sounds actually, as you said, you're bringing all the bits in, which is fantastic. Yeah. And if people wanted to find more info in, I'll put these links into the description. So wherever you're watching or listening, check out the description and you'll be able to click on it straight away. But Mark, where would people be able to find more information about BAB? About the future events?
We're on all social medias, as you may expect, on Instagram, on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn. You can go to our website, which is babnetworking.co.uk. And it will tell you all you need to know there about, you know, a little bit about Sue and myself and how you can book onto the meetings.
Lovely. And I can't let you go without sharing some top tips of networking, about networking, if that's okay. So in literally about a minute or two, what would be your kind of top three tips for anybody going to a networking event?
Yeah, I think the main thing to bear in mind when you go to a networking event is nobody is there to buy. Nobody comes to a networking meeting thinking, I want to spend some money today. So a little bit like I said in that the 20-minute slot that we do at BAB, you have to help people to buy rather than try to sell at them. Again, that's something that's probably come from years of having Brad Burton saying, you know, don't be salesy, don't go out there selling at people. People will gravitate towards you. When you have your meetings with them, listen to what they've got to say. You've got to, you know, you've got two ears, one mouth. And how many times have we heard this? You know, you use them in that ratio. Listen to what people have got to say. Listen for their problems that you can help them with. And do you know what? Connect people. People will always think of you if you connect them to the right people. They might not even buy from you today, next week, next month, or even next year. The longest burn that I've had is 10 years. I had 10 years from when I met someone at a networking event to actually when they came along and they booked, I think it was, 11 videos at £150 each. So that was a slow burn, but ultimately it happened. And that was because I'd connected them at their first ever meeting to somebody who built their website. So it's been having a good address book, being prepared to open your address book for people and help people connect to people that they're going to find synergy with, they're going to find their problems solved by, rather than you trying to sell things and down the throat. Nobody will ever, you know, sort of, you can't beat somebody into submission when it comes to selling your stuff. You can furnish them with the facts, you can help them to buy, you can connect them to the right people. And that I would suggest is the best way to go forward with networking. Don't go selling to people.
Mark, I couldn't have, that's perfect. Absolutely perfect. And what a way to end this podcast and video. I just want to say at this point, thank you, Mark, for everything that you've done. I've known you for probably 6 or 7 years. And you've supported not only me, but also other people through the networking journey, through inviting me to speak at some of your events, you speaking at some of my events. And for me, that means a lot. So thank you so much. And also thank you for spending your time today on this podcast and video as well. Really do appreciate your time. If people wanted to find more information about Mark, so we'll put bad links as well, but Mark as a social media, Mark, how can they throw out any links and that kind of stuff right now?
Well, I always say to people, if they head for the website, marknorthall.com, nice and simple, all the links to the social medias are there. But really, if you just Google Mark Northall, you'll probably find everything you need to find there.
How simple is that? You make it simple for your customers to find you. Funny enough, you'll be in the game for a long time. So, Mark, thank you so much for your time today. And also, thank you very much for everyone watching and listening. This has been The Grow Show with Mark Northall. If anything has kind of sparked your interest about networking, about BAB, about social media, anything that Mark's covered, please connect with him and please get in touch with him. But for the people who are watching in the Grow community, thank you very much as well. If you're not part of the Grow community and you're listening, Just join us. We'll do lives on here and you'll get them probably around 4 to 6 weeks before everybody else. So a bit of exclusive content for you. But that for me is about it. Mark, thank you again so, so much. We'll catch up soon in person, I'm sure. And for everyone watching, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.